Celtic can be 15 points clear in the SPL if they beat Kilmarnock. That's the latest. I'm Chris Giles.
This is Phoenix FM.
Movie. Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go flight.
Guidance go. Surgeon.
Go flight.
Ecom.
We're go flight.
GNC.
We're go.
Tell me.
Go.
Control.
Go flight.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
It's just after 6 o'clock on Wednesday, which means it's time for the Stage and Screen Show on Phoenix FM. Here we go with another hour of music from Hollywood, Broadway and the West End.
Hey Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
As a nod to Burns Night last Friday, that was James Horner's finale to the 1995 epic historical drama Braveheart. The film was directed by and starred Mel Gibson as William Wallace, the 13th century Scottish warrior who led the Scots in the First War of Scottish Independence against King Edward I. Braveheart was nominated for 10 Oscars at the 69th Annual Academy Awards and won 5, including the statues for Best Picture and Best Director.
Phoenix FM.
Prolific movie composer James Horner has scored more than 100 films and is recognised for his integration of choral and electronic elements in his music. The score to the 1997 film Titanic remains the best-selling orchestral soundtrack of all time. And Horner is known for his close and repeated collaborations with a number of acclaimed directors, particularly James Cameron, who directed Titanic, and Ron Howard, for whom he wrote this stirring piece of music. brilliant. That was the launch from James Horner's Oscar-nominated score to Ron Howard's 1995 docudrama movie Apollo 13, which dramatises America's third attempt at a moon landing in 1970. Now, whilst en route, an onboard explosion deprives the spacecraft of most of its oxygen supply and electric power. Not good. Forcing NASA's flight controllers to abort the moon landing and turning the mission into a desperate attempt to get the three astronauts home safely. The film stars Bill Paxton as pilot Fred Hayes, Kevin Bacon as Jack Swaggart, and Tom Hanks as Jim Lovell.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
And Tom Hanks has starred in over 45 films since 1980, and as of the end of 2012, his films had grossed over $8.5 billion worldwide at the box office. His films include Philadelphia and Forrest Gump, both of which won him the Academy Award for Best Actor, The Green Mile, Saving Private Ryan, as well as slightly lighter movies such as Sleepless in Seattle.
I remember the days of just keeping time, of hanging around in sleepy towns forever. Back roads empty for miles. Well, you can't have a dream and cut it to fit. But when I saw you, I knew we'd go together like a wink. Smile. Leave your old jalopy by the railroad track. We'll get a hip double dip tip toppy to see Pontiac. So you can rev her up. Don't go slow. Lights and all rides, let's go together with a wink and a smile. Give me a wink and a smile. Song. Sing it again, the notes never end. This is where I belong. Just the sound of your voice, the light in your eyes. We're so far away from yesterday. Together, with a wink and a smile. Together like a wink and a smile.
From the soundtrack to Nora Ephron's 1993 romantic comedy Sleepless in Seattle, that was Harry Connick Jr. with A Wink and a Smile. Alongside Tom Hanks, the film stars Meg Ryan as Annie Reed.
Phoenix FM.
Sleepless in Seattle was apparently inspired by the 1957 film An Affair to Remember and uses both expert excerpts of the soundtrack and clips from the film in critical scenes. The climatic meeting atop the Empire State Building in Sleepless in Seattle is a reference to a reunion between Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr in An Affair to Remember that fails to happen because Kerr's character is struck by a car while she's en route.
Thank you.
was Hugo Friedhofer's score to Leo McCarey's 1957 classic movie, An Affair to Remember, which is a remake of his 1939 film, Love Affair. According to the American Film Institute, the film is considered one of the most romantic films of all time, which gives me a perfect excuse to mention that on Wednesday the 13th of February, so just 2 weeks from now, I'll be presenting a Valentine's special of the Stage and Screen Show, featuring music from some of the most romantic films ever made. So join me for that, if you can.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
But it wasn't all just big screen romance for old Cary Grant. That was Bernard Herrmann's theme to the 1959 movie North by Northwest, starring Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint, and directed, of course, by Alfred Hitchcock. The screenplay for the film was written by Ernest Lehman, who wanted to write the Hitchcock picture to end all Hitchcock pictures, which he arguably did. North by Northwest is a tale of mistaken identity, and scenes sees an innocent man pursued across the United States by agents of a mysterious organisation who want to stop his interference in their plans to smuggle out microfilm containing government secrets. Gripping, suspenseful and visually iconic, the film undoubtedly laid the groundwork for the countless action thrillers that followed.
Phoenix FM.
And speaking of Hitchcock and thrillers...
Thank you.
Made just 1 year after North by Northwest, once again that was Bernard Herrmann's iconic theme to Alfred Hitchcock's suspense horror film Psycho, starring Anthony Perkins and Janet Leigh. The film depicts the encounter between a secretary, Marion Crane, who goes to a secluded motel after embezzling money from her employer, and the motel's disturbed owner-manager, Norman Bates, and the aftermath of their encounter. Now, Psycho initially received mixed reviews, but outstanding box office returns prompted a re-review, which was overwhelmingly positive and led to 4 Academy Award nominations, including Best Director for Hitchcock. Psycho is now considered one of Hitchcock's best films and is highly praised as a work of cinematic art by international critics. It's often ranked among the greatest films ever made, and it is famous for bringing a new level of acceptable violence and sexuality in films. And the making of Psycho is the focus of the new movie, Hitchcock, directed by Sacha Gyorgyadze and starring Anthony Hopkins as the man himself and Helen Mirren as his wife Alma Revel. Hitchcock opens at cinemas across the UK on February the 8th.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
And now this week's stage and screen news, starting with the screen news update from our movie journalist, Vicky Bufton. J.J. Abrams has been announced as the director of Star Wars Episode 7. Currently helming the Star Trek reboot sequel, the man behind Lost will be steering the Empire into a new adventure. Still nothing on story or stars, and Abrams hasn't committed to the 2015 release date just yet, but fans will be relieved to have a director capable of delivering a decent sci-fi blockbuster. The Lance Armstrong biopic, helmed by none other than J.J. Abrams again, is in hot pursuit of a star. Informal talks have been occurring with Silver Linings Playbook star Bradley Cooper, who has expressed interest in playing the Big Fat Fibber on the big screen previously. And if you're enjoying Mr. Selfridge on ITV at the moment, the star, Jeremy Piven, will soon be returning to the role that made him a household name in the US. Warner Brothers have greenlit a movie of the TV series Entourage, with Piven reprising the role of the foul-mouthed movie agent, Ari Gold. The show followed the ups and downs of the career of movie star Vince and his hangers-on friends from home. The movie will be produced by Mark Wahlberg, on whose early career the show is based. And out at the cinema this week, Flight. Denzel Washington's Oscar-nominated turn as an airline pilot who manages to save a plane from crashing in epic style. However, the investigation that follows brings about questions of his competency at the time. Hyde Park on Hudson, Bill Murray plays FDR in this drama about the president's affair with his distant cousin in the summer King George VI pays a visit. And bullet to the head, Sylvester Stallone opens a can of whoop-ass upon hapless thugs in a revenge rampage of destruction. At the UK cinema box office, top 5 this week. Zero Dark Thirty makes a silent but deadly entrance into the chart at number 5. The Life of Pi sinks to 4, while Lincoln makes his presidential entrance at number 3. Django Unchained remains firmly at number 2, and Les Mis sits atop the barricade for another week at number 1. And then straight into the theatre world. ITV is to broadcast a highlights package of this year's Olivier Awards, the Society of London Theatre has confirmed. ITV1 will screen an edited version of the awards on the night of the actual ceremony, which takes place at the Royal Opera House on April the 28th. The exact time of the broadcast has yet to be announced. The ceremony will also be broadcast live by BBC Radio 2, as in previous years, which will be presented by Ken Bruce. Announcing the deal with ITV, SALT Chief Executive Julian Bird said, "We always hoped we would get mainstream broadcast interest, and we're delighted to announce ITV1 are coming on board for this year. It will be very similar to the BAFTAs in that it will go out the same night but in an edited form later in the evening." This year's ceremony will be co-hosted by Sheridan Smith, who won an Olivier in 2011 for Legally Blonde and another last year for Flarepath. Salt has not yet announced he'll be joining her, although Julia McKenzie will provide a voiceover for the awards. And for the first time ever, the nominations for this year's Olivier's will also be broadcast live on March the 26th from the Mayfair Hotel on Radio 2. And this will also include a special performance from Matilda the Musical. Meanwhile, on the night of the actual ceremony from the Royal Opera House in April, members of the public will be able to watch the awards live as it's shown on screens in Covent Garden. The Piazza in Covent Garden will also host live performances from the West End shows. Jennifer Ellison is to join the cast of Singing in the Rain in the West End. The performer, who's recently starred as Paulette in the tour of Legally Blonde, will join the production on February the 18th and will take up the role of Lena Lamont. She replaces Catherine Kingsley. Ellison said that playing any West End role is a thrill and a privilege, but to be playing Lena Lamont at the Palace Theatre in this show is pretty much as good as it gets. Singing in the Rain is currently booking at the Palace Theatre until September. A Chorus Line director, Bob Avian, has revealed plans to tour the musical following its run in the West End. The show, which has music by Marvin Hamlisch, will begin previews at the London Palladium on February the 5th, where it's currently booked to run up until January 2014. However, Avian, who co-choreographed the production when it originally opened on Broadway in 1975 and who's directing the London revival, told the Stage newspaper a tour had been built into the deal with the show's producer, who include Mark Goucher and Adam Kemright. Avian, who choreographed the West End productions of Martin Guerre and The Witches of Eastwick, said it would be the actual Palladium show that tours, rather than a separate production alongside it. A Chorus Line will star John Partridge, Scarlett Strahlen and Lee Zimmerman, and is a full revival of Michael Bennett's original Broadway production from 1975. Its run at the Palladium marks the first time it's been seen in London since 1976. And new productions opening in London this week include tomorrow night, Pinter's Old Times opens at the Harold Pinter Theatre, formerly The Comedy, starring Rufus Sewell and with Kristin Scott Thomas and Leah Williams alternating the roles of Kate and Anna. And then on Friday the 1st, Feast opens at the Young Vic Theatre, directed by Rufus Norris. And finally, Broadway and Glee star Kristin Chenoweth is to make her first UK appearance in more than a decade, with a concert tour opening at the London Coliseum on March the 11th, before embarking on a UK-wide tour. Chenoweth originated the role of Glinda in the Broadway production of Wicked and won a Tony Award for her performance in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. The performer last appeared in the UK in Divas at the Donmar in 2002.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
And speaking of Kristin Chenoweth.
No awards for me.
Aren't you glad I starred in Wicked? I'm Kristin Chenoweth, beloved by you. But I've been co-starred with fellow New Yorkians. I would like to introduce to you my beloved friend and glamorous co-star, Idina Menzel.
We're both so happy, we're both so happy now. We're both so happy how
she gets a big ovation,
but she's the big sensation. We both defer the final bow, 'cause she's the bigger star right now.
I'm glad you're so popular. You've been on more TV shows and you modeled clothes. Some would even call obscene. Ooh, you're in all the PR shots and the promo spots. You even look attractive green.
Yes, I'm popular, but you're the more popular. You've even been Brantley's pet and you've got a set of pipes to rival Barbara Cook. You're the star who wrote the I'm loved and I'm famous book.
You're such a sweetie that my zero man you'll become more popular. Lar. Ha! La, la.
What a love fest, la, la.
She's the bestest.
I'm glad that you're so popular.
Oh, you're so pretty.
And thanks, now, the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical.
Oh, Adina, wait. Before they announce the winner, let's make a blood oath. No matter what happens, whoever wins, we will always love each other and remain the dearest of friends.
Yes, always.
And the winner is Idina Menzel in Wicked.
Ha! I am the star!
I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy now. I hope you're happy how you stole from me the Tony, you vulgar one-trick pony.
I am so happy. I am so happy now. I am so happy how I won your little Tony, you cute, obnoxious phony.
You give me back my final bow.
And no one's happy
right now. Adina, listen to me. We can still be friends. Just say you're sorry and hand over that Tony to me.
What?
I mean, Stephen Schwartz could use that Tony, for he's never won before. You could save a starving writer.
I know.
Trust my wisdom.
No, I don't want to anymore.
Huh, she doesn't want to. I wonder why. That's a thinker.
I'll be the star of Wicked after you leave the show. And once the cast has changed, I'll grab top billing when you go. It's time I try defying Chenoweth. I'm gonna fly defying Chenoweth. You're not the best in town.
You're losing your equilibrium. That green paint seeped in your cerebrum. So don't dare try defying Chenoweth.
You're gonna die defying Chenoweth. I'll wear the diva crown.
Monkeys, no monkeys, no monkeys!
So strap me in a harness and hoist me up to the sky. In all the big shows lately, flying chimp, and suddenly I am defying subtlety with death defying lack of subtlety. I'll capture world renown. I'll blow the Gershwin up because I am the loudest witch in Oz, and no one's gonna turn.
From the hugely popular off-Broadway satirical review Forbidden Broadway Special Victims Unit, conceived, written and directed by Gerard Alessandrini, that was Wickeder, music of course originally by Stephen Schwartz. The original version of the review opened on January the 15th, 1982 at Paulson's Supper Club in New York City and ran for 2,332 performances. Alessandrini has since written or rewritten the show over a dozen times and has brought it back every year, pretty much, to include parodies of newer shows. And Forbidden Broadway has become a must-see for many diehard fans of musical theatre visiting the Great White Way. Here's something from the 2008 incarnation of the show. Forbidden Broadway goes to rehab.
Hello, Steve. Where did you go, Steve? Got a new show, Steve.
It's good to see you again, Bernadette.
I never forgot you, Steve. You gave me so much.
What did I ever give you?
Many things. Sunday in the park, into the woods, vocal damage. But enough about me. Are you working on something new?
No, I'm not.
That is not like you, Steve.
I've nothing to say. Well, nothing that's not been said.
Said by you, though, Steve. Don't worry if you feel hurry. Move on. The freshness of West Side Story is gone. Just keep moving on. Let's finally put up Roadshow or Bounce. Don't worry if Michael Riddle will needle or pounce. Just keep moving on.
Anything you do, let it come from you.
Sweeney Todd Part 2.
Write a show for me.
What? No, write a show for me. Yeah. Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd Part 2.
Live it by your greatest enemy.
Broadway, a blank stage or season, my favorite, so many possibilities.
I'm sure you gather that wasn't actually Stephen Sondheim or Bernadette Peters, but rather the cast of Forbidden Broadway goes to rehab with the Stephen Sondheim finale. And here is my Stephen Sondheim finale.
Look, I've spent a lot of time working on this.
Look, no one's going to buy it. No one.
Well, how can...
Nobody in Middle America, anyway, that's for sure.
He's right.
Well, why...
Sweetheart, it's just not commercial.
What is commercial?
It's not what's selling nowadays.
I mean, personally, I love it.
Be nice, girl.
Nobody's into this kind of material.
You have to pay a price, girl.
This album needs a hit single we could push.
They like to give advice, girl.
The whole idea's too risky.
Don't think about it twice, girl.
The audience won't understand this kind of thing.
It's time to get to work. I disagree. Why don't you wait till you hear it?
This is like your old stuff.
Art isn't easy.
We gotta appeal to the kids.
Even when you're hot.
Why would you want to make an album like this anyway?
Advancing art is easy.
I think we gotta talk seriously about
financing
this.
Financing it is not.
Why take chances?
A vision's just a vision if it's only in your head.
Nobody respects your artistic integrity more than I do.
If no one gets to hear it, it's as good as dead.
You have to think about your career.
It has to come to life. Bit by bit, putting it together. Piece by piece, only way to make the of art. Every moment makes a contribution. Every little detail plays a part. Having just the vision's no solution. Everything depends on execution. Putting it together, that's what counts. Ounce by ounce, putting it together. Small amounts, adding up to make a work of art. First of all, you need a good foundation. Otherwise, it's risky from the start. Takes a little cocktail conversation, but without the proper preparation. Having just the vision's no solution. Everything depends on execution. The art of making art is putting it together, bit by bit.
We really need all these musicians.
Link by link,
making the connections, yes we do. Drink by drink, taking every comment as it comes. Learning how to play the politician like you play piano, bass and drums. Otherwise you'll find your composition isn't gonna get much exhibition. Art isn't easy. Every minor detail is a major decision. Have to keep things in scale, have to hold to your vision. Cocktail conversation, if it gets the funds for your foundation. Every time I start to feel defensive, I remember vinyl is expensive.
Would you agree to do an interview?
Maybe one. Building up the image, shot by shot, keeping at a distance doesn't pay. Still, if you remember your objective, not keep on your private.
That was Barbara Streisand with her version of Putting It Together from the show Sunday in the Park with George by Stephen Sondheim. And that brings us to the end of another show. After the news, it's Body Talk in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital. It's a repeat of last week's show when I sat in for Melanie Watson. Curveballs with Nick Field is at 8, and then Joe Box will be throwing the switch from 10. Thanks as always to Vicky Bufton for her screen news update and to you for listening. And I hope you can join me next week for more from Hollywood, Broadway and the West End. That's The Stage and Screen Show next Wednesday at 6 p.m. only on Phoenix FM. I'll see you in a week. Bye for now.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7. The family of a woman who died while running last year's London Marathon are calling for a clampdown on health supplements.